now for The Way We Hear It.
That's right, everyone. It's time now for The Way We Hear It, the Pro Football Weekly podcast exclusive look deep into the NFL to bring you the top stories that we're hearing around the league. Hello, everyone. I'm PFW podcast producer Dan Mott, welcoming you into this week's top stories. We start first with the Oakland Raiders. Are they going to Las Vegas? Hub Arkish and PFW's Kevin Fishbane weigh in on what could be the next big move in the NFL.
Yeah, it's funny, guys. I was on the phone late last night with one anonymous general manager who said to me, Hub, what do you think? Who's running the NFL these days, the commissioner or the owner of the Cowboys? And, you know, you're starting to hear that sentiment around the league a lot. Mark Davis has a commitment from the city of Las Vegas to build him a stadium for the Raiders pending a, I don't know if it's a public referendum or a vote, what they have to do, but they've got to get the citizens of Vegas to agree to $500 million in financing for that stadium. Davis has said that he will come up with another $500 million, and the league is, of course, committed to coming in with $200 million based on the deal that they made after agreeing to let the Rams go to Los Angeles. What's fascinating about it is that discussion about playing a game in Las Vegas has been a non-starter throughout the history of the NFL, particularly with this commissioner, because of the gambling aspect. And while the league is still testifying regularly on Capitol Hill, guys, against the whole gambling concept, we're now hearing that the owners are somewhat warming to the idea, or at least Jerry Jones came out and said he was warming to the idea. And Kevin, when you take a look at how the deal got done with Stan Kroenke and the Rams going to Los Angeles, it was clearly Jones who was driving the ship. Goodell wasn't too happy about it. This does not bode well if Roger Goodell wants to block this move to Vegas.
Yeah, no, Jerry Jones pointed out the entertainment factor of Vegas and what that will do to the NFL to have a team there. You know, that's just there's so much sports excitement in the town, and I think, you know, this whole ignorance is bliss thing that Goodell's been running when it comes to gambling and football, it's just, you know, it's gone too long. I mean, he knows that gambling takes place. We talk about point spreads every week. We talk about over-unders. Fantasy football is gambling. I mean, the NFL wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for gambling, so you might as well look into putting a team in Vegas. But boy, Hubba, if they're asking the Vegas people to put up that much money, it's going to be tough, because I think we've learned over the past year or two, maybe rightfully so, that you know, people in these cities are not going to vote to take money out of their own pockets to pay for stadiums for wealthy owners.
You know, there's a perception that Vegas is different, but they'll come up with the money, and I'm sure they'd like to have the team. But the reality is, there's a huge swath of the Strip sitting vacant right now because of a massive development that went bankrupt, and this is from one of the casino owners. So, you know, it is not a given at all that this deal gets done financially, but it is huge that Davis appears to have Jones's support now. Mark Davis is, I don't know how to say this without sounding cruel, but he is pretty much universally considered to be maybe the least efficient owner in the National Football League. Is that a nice way to say it? And so I think there's a thought among some owners that Vegas and Davis may deserve each other.
All right, we move on to our next story, which for the NFL does not seem to go away. Of course, I'm talking about Deflategate. Tom Brady still facing a 4-game suspension at the beginning of the season, and Hub and PFW's Arthur Arkish have some insight on whether or not he will serve that suspension.
You know, this suspension kind of reminds me of the political climate right now in the presidential race, where you've got 2, 3, 4, however many people you want running for president. Nobody wants any of them. They believe they're all wrong, and yet one of them is going to get the job. You know, I mean, we've reached the point now with the Brady suspension. I think you'd probably get an 80% vote from players, coaches, NFL people along. It's stupid. It's wrong. It doesn't deserve it. It shouldn't happen. And yet Goodell is bound and determined to go forward with it. He's now got a favorable court ruling. And Arthur, there was a mistaken report this past Wednesday that Brady had in fact filed his appeal and asked for an en banc hearing, which means that the entire 12-judge panel of the Second Circuit in Manhattan would rehear the case. The reason to do that could be that it was the lead judge, Katzmann, who ruled in his favor, and that maybe he could get a 7-5 or 6-6 standoff. But the fact is, now that Brady's camp has said, we have not filed an appeal, we are still considering our options. He was granted an extension. His original deadline for that appeal was at the end of this past week. I don't know if he has another week or two, but right now, Brady's camp is saying, we're not letting this sit, but they haven't decided exactly what they're going to try and do about it.
Yeah, well, it comes down to two options. You mentioned the one, the in bonk or in bank hearing, where because of Chief Katzman's dissenting view, there's belief that potentially more than half of those remaining 12 judges would side with him and therefore rule on Brady's behalf. But it seems like realistic isn't the right word. The other Hail Mary that Brady and his legal team can pursue is, of course, going up to the Supreme Court with this and having it heard there. But that is such a rare thing that's obviously why we're calling it a Hail Mary. But those are the two options that are on the table. It does seem, though, like the longer that this goes on, obviously we're still only in May here, but if Brady continues to get stays and extensions, that's probably going to weigh in his and the Patriots' favor as well.
Well, and as Arthur explains, Lewis, those are his only two remaining options. And the Supreme Court issue is interesting because this is not a case that has far-reaching implications. It covers exactly 1,800 or 1,900 citizens of the United States of America. It may be an interesting or not be an interesting point of law, but what I've heard from legal experts is they can't imagine why the Supreme Court would agree to hear the case. They've already been accused of becoming too politicized. This is not a case that has a big impact on labor law or the law around the country. And so, obviously, what Brady's people are considering right now, as much as I like throwing Supreme Court around, they have to realize that if they ask for the Supreme Court hearing and are denied, then they've gotten no hearing and they lose again.
Lastly, in the way we hear it, the New York Jets quarterback position is a total mess right now, and the question remains, who will be taking snaps under center when this team starts the season? Hub and PFW's Nate Atkins share their thoughts.
Well, and now the Jets have all of management in line, not only GM Mike McKagan and head coach Todd Bowles, but now Brandon Marshall has said it's okay for them to go without Ryan Fitzpatrick. He said they'll make it work with either Geno Smith or Bryce Petty. But Nate, here's the bottom line. I've talked to a number of people around the league about this, specifically somebody close to the Jets organization. They believe Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be their quarterback. They don't believe for a minute that Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to retire rather than play for the roughly $7 million they're willing to give him. Maybe they throw him a bone, give him $8.5 million. Ryan Fitzpatrick's not getting signed anywhere else. So the Jets' perspective on this is that Fitzpatrick's going to be their quarterback. They would just like to get this charade over with sooner rather than later.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick's lost a lot of his leverage that we thought he had when other teams have gone out and they filled their quarterback situations, whether that's Cleveland getting Robert Griffin III, whether that's Denver trading up and getting Paxton Lynch. And so it's become the worst-kept secret that he's going to play for the Jets. Now, the question is all about the money, and it's interesting the Jets are trying to sort of capitalize on this leverage, and yet their plan to do that was to spend a second-round pick on Christian Hackenberg, who might be the least-ready second-round pick in the history of the NFL to step into a place like New York and play quarterback. And so it's going to be interesting for them to try and lowball Ryan Fitzpatrick. Maybe not lowball is not the right term with the way quarterback contracts are exploding based on production, but to try and get him at the price that they want when their options right now, Geno Smith and Christian Hackenberg, those don't scream guys that are going to lead you to a playoff for a team that's what they're expecting.
It's the bottom line. I've talked to people in Denver, people in Cleveland. I talked to people in Houston before the Osweiler deal. They all had an interest in Ryan Fitzpatrick at exactly the contract that he turned down from the Jets. And so the bottom line is he had a really nice year last year, but people around the league believe that's more about the receivers, the offensive line, the running game, and the favorable offense. Chan Gailey is a guy who can win with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Not a lot of offensive coordinators can. He's going to be a Jet or he's going to be on the bench somewhere.
And that is the way we hear it. Be sure and listen each week as we bring you the very best news, scoops, and rumors from around the league. Remember, you can listen to us each week on Blog Talk Radio. Subscribe to us on iTunes by simply searching for the Pro Football Weekly Podcast. And as always, keep it at profootballweekly.com for the very best in NFL news. My name is Dan Mott, and until next week, this has been The Way We Hear It.